It's a meme now, but I love Comic Sans. And I feel like now my writing looks like Comic Sans, and I
Oh my.
absolutely hate it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Digital Dopamine. Today, I am here with Tina. Tina, tell us a bit about yourself.
The hardest question.
I am Tina. I am a user experience designer student. We'll get there. I don't know. I feel like I'm still trying to get that pitch together because I feel like I'm still exploring who I am. I feel like I'm someone that enjoys laughing with your friends and spending time, really slowing down, because I feel like in like the world nowadays, we go at such a fast pace. But yeah, just trying to be a chill girl.
You are a chill girl. I think you're a chill girl.
Absolutely. And what encouraged you, or what I guess inspired you, to pursue a career in user experience?
I was at a loss in life. So in 2021, peak COVID, I graduated from biomechanics, kinesis, out of everything, decided that I didn't want to go into healthcare. And in like my 3 a.m. room reorganization, I was on LinkedIn and Apple was hiring. So I was like, okay, like let's just like throw in my resume, like let's just shoot and see what sticks. And I ended up getting the job as a technical specialist. So after going from learning about healthcare and getting more into like the business and tech side of things, I was like, maybe this is something I want to pursue. And then that's where I met Christopher, and he suggested this program because it's new. I feel like user experience design is like a very new topic. I had no idea what
it was. It's very up and coming. Me neither.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so he was suggesting that, or just telling me about it, and it intrigued me. Like, and I was like, okay, look into it. And honestly, I think what really like sold it to me is like, oh, in the interviews, you just need to create 2 case studies. And I'm like, that's a low commitment, like that's a low effort. Okay, yeah, let's do it. And which user experience design is so much more than that, but that is definitely what led me here. I just lost life, wanted to try something, and like this just sparked my curiosity.
So lovely. And considering you didn't really know what user experience was coming into this, how do you think your approach to the topic as a whole has evolved since you started?
So much. It has evolved so much. So I feel like stumbling on this by accident was like probably one of the best things that happened to me. Just because with user experience, I first initially thought, yes, you are designing, but you're designing with like educated guests, which put ease in my mind because I like creating, but I kind of like creating with a process. I can't make something out of nothing, but I can look at something and be like, I feel like this can be better in this way. So it is slowly going into that. And with user experience, there's a lot of research that goes behind your design decisions. And at the end of the day, it is for other people. And so I feel like every user experience designer, they definitely have a little bit of like people pleaser in them.
Yes.
Because you're not designing for yourself, you're designing for other people and making their lives better, which is really nice. But yeah, I guess now user experience, we're designers that are trying to make other people's lives easier, which is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. On the topic of liking to work with the process, what does your process look like as you start a project or notice when something needs to be changed? What are the cues for you?
Right, let's see. Is it a philosophy or like the way I go about life? It's like, I feel like I complain a lot. However, I believe that you are not allowed to complain unless you have a different solution available. Because if you're just complaining, just complain, you're just feeding more negative energy into the world. So it's like, what value do you have doing that other than making yourself like have a negative energy and also giving other people that negative energy?
Yeah.
So yeah, it starts with there. It starts identifying the issue, realizing that like this can be better. And then from there, just letting your users take the lead. So identify their problem. And then with whatever data you get from the users, just verifying it, because I complain about it, it doesn't mean everyone complain about it. And then from there, you just pick up and go.
Right.
But that's how I start. But process wise, I feel like I'm still figuring that out as well.
It's good.
In terms of staying productive.
Oh my God.
Are there any techniques that you use to keep yourself on track during projects?
I feel like since basically 100% of our projects have been group projects, I feel like having your group stay accountable and like be accountable for each other. So at the beginning, if you made a promise to your group members that you'll do something, then you make sure you do it. I feel like you definitely need to sprinkle in those like brain rot times or like giving yourself the break that you need. Because if you just keep working through the busy and everything, you are going to burn out. And at the end of the day, like that is more detrimental than giving yourself the needed break.
But
productivity wise, we implemented a timer, like an actual like physical timer that we got off of like Amazon. So every 20 minutes, take a break and then you're good there.
Like, it's so handy. It's such a good idea.
And on the topic of burnout, what advice would you give to someone who's struggling with burnout?
With burnout, I feel like everyone needs to get to that point to find out what you really need. Because up until you experience that for yourself, that is the point where you really have to be honest with yourself. And like, you really don't have any other choice than to be honest with yourself when you're in that feeling to see what you need. And what's, it will take practice. It doesn't like resolve itself after a day. Like you'll kind of recognize at what point you'll experience burnout. And then from there, decide what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. I've never thought of it that way. Just like, it kicks in your survival skills almost.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have a choice. You can take care of yourself now. And then because you've gone through it before, now you know the steps you need to take to prevent that.
Yeah. In terms of managing your work-life balance between being a student, trying to look for UX work, and working at Apple, how does that go?
It's hard for sure. My calendar is definitely my best friend. If it's in the calendar, I follow it. I feel like I always admire people that have so much in their plates. But then once you actually do things, then you kind of realize that it's not as hard as it seems. Like, I feel like it gets played out so much in your head. That's like, oh, like, I can never be that person. Like, it's just so out of reach, but it's actually not. So I feel like within strict of the schedule, and definitely sprinkling in those like moments of like free time, of recess, it is possible for sure. And I feel like having like such a good support system, like having like all our friends and like the community that we built together, and everyone's just on that grind. So I feel like we're all in a position where we can relate to each other and just be there to support each other. And like, because we know each other so well, I feel like we can recognize that in each other's energies. So it's really nice that we'll check in with each other. Yes. To be like, hey, you're not as like bumbly as you are, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Like, what's fine? But it's hard. I'm still like working through.
I think that's like a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
It just takes forever.
How do you balance everything? Because what you're...
I don't.
No.
Short answer. I don't.
Podcast, by the way, this is amazing. Like, congratulations on like starting this.
Thank you.
Because I think that's like one of the harder things that I need to learn as well. It's like, just start doing things.
Yes.
It's not going to be perfect the first time, but like for you to just sit there and think about everything that could go wrong, like that's not going to do anything. Right. So you just have to do.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I still struggle with that. I used to struggle with that even more. And then it was just kind of,
I can't do this anymore because I was idle and I couldn't do anything that I wanted to do or that I didn't want to do. Just nothing was getting done. I was just rotting all the time. So that's ending. 2025 is my year.
What is on your plate right now? What is on Riley's plate?
I have two web designs. I have my work at Symphonic and plus Symphonic's web design. I have the podcast.
Yes.
I have school. I have trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with my physical health right now.
Yes.
TBH.
Which is probably
scrap everything else. Yes, that is the top priority. Yes.
Yeah.
There's that. And then also maintaining friendships and family life and keeping all of that up to date, which is the least taxing of it all, honestly, because just being around people, it's been recharging my social battery.
Yeah. Are there any tools that you're using right now that like keeps your life sorted? Because like, yes, I think things after a while, they all just blend together and it's like, I have to work, but I don't know which work I have to do. And this,
yeah. So it gets confusing like that sometimes, but I actually found this app that I've been meaning to tell you about, because it's designed by people with ADHD for people with ADHD.
Perfect.
So good. It's called Teemo.
Not sponsored.
Like the champion on on League of Legends, Teemo. Maybe, how's that spelled?
Well,
can tell you.
T-E-M-O.
Oh, I will be very wrong.
Oh, word. Okay.
Yeah.
This app is spelled T-I-I-M-O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so handy. It sets you up like a deep focus timer where you can just switch to that page and it shows you a big circle of how much time you have left. And you can plan your entire life in there and just block it off as section of time, color code it, whatever floats your boat. So I set my 3 grand goals for the week in Notion, and then I split that up between each day. Like, what am I going to have time to do on each day? And then from those objectives for each day, I put in actual tasks to this Teemo app. And every Sunday night, I do that every Sunday night, or I lose my shit the next week.
No, I feel like, I think Chris and I talked about this earlier. It's like, we need to prep. You can't just wake up and just decide to do something. You actually have to prep.
Yeah.
And some smart person said this that I can't quote right now, but if you have more than 3 priorities, you have no priorities. So it's like really focusing on your 3 challenges of the day. Because if you have like this laundry list of things to do, you're not prioritizing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you're not making that executive decision of like, this is what I need to get done today. This is what's important today.
Yeah.
And it's really nice that like you're breaking it down to like bite-sized pieces. So it's not like this big 3 projects. It's like, okay, actually I just need to get like some of these done.
Yeah.
Which is like a really good tip. I feel like I know all these things, but I just need to start like in February.
Like actually practicing them?
Yes.
Oh no, I understand.
Yes.
Like, easier said than done for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like I could give advice on these things all day. Does that mean I'm actually consistent with them?
No,
no. No. Yeah. So it's a tough thing to balance, but
okay. We're all here for each other.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have this big support system, which I think is just so amazing. So moving on to the topic of inspiration. What inspires your work the most?
What inspires my work the most?
This one's hard.
Because I feel like I pull inspiration from like just like daily life. Like always seeing like the work that's around us, or like I guess like the creators that are around us as well. I really wish I prepared what their handles are, like what their names are, but like there are Asian creators on like specific like videographers on Instagram, and like because they're around like I guess like the same age like me, like representation, it's like seeing them do like crazy and like amazing things, it's kind of like, okay, so maybe these are in the cards for me. And like just seeing what they are able to create. It's like,
maybe I'll try that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I feel like in our specific circles as well, everyone has such like a niche talent that they have. Like for yourself, it's like you just do shit. Like you don't think about much. And am I allowed to swear on this? I'm
yes,
so sorry.
Absolutely.
Like, like you just wake up and you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this podcast, we're doing this, I'm gonna create my whole brand, and then on top of that, I'm gonna do ABCD, everything that you just listed.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like such quality work, and it's so inspiring that like, the ambition that you have with everything is like,
thank you.
Like, I need a little bit of that. Like, with everyone else, like in graphic design, like Zach with his like animations, like Brie and her like brand guidelines, like what the fuck? Oh my gosh, like
she thinks she's not good at them.
Which is so crazy. Because like, but yeah, imposter syndrome. We'll touch on that in a little bit.
Yes.
But that is so wild to me. And it's like, again, we need like those people around us to like remind ourselves that like these are like the good qualities that we have. Cause I feel like at the end of the day, we are our own worst critic.
Yes.
Like, sorry, tangent. I had a coffee chat with Alex at Pod Marketing.
it was just like a quick, like, it was my first attempt at networking. I reached out to him like a little bit, like in there, letting him know about this program. But in that coffee chat, he said that whatever you do in life, make sure you have a mentor.
Right.
Because your mentor will be able to, I guess, like highlight those values, and like you'll be able to see that because they are your mentors. So like you do trust them in that way.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and just like, especially in our line of work, like there's a lot of like self-doubt that like we get into. It's like, because it's such a oversaturated industry that sometimes we need that reminder. But that is definitely way off topic. The initial question was what inspires me.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, sounds good. Everything, everyone.
Yeah. Word, everything, everyone is a great answer.
Thank you.
Okay, on that note though, let's move into imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. How has that affected you so far in your career?
With imposter syndrome, it's always like, I think I always feel that when I feel like something is too hard. So it's like, am I able to maintain this challenge that I've accepted? Am I able to like show up for my group members in a way that I believe that they think that I can, kind of thing? So it's definitely a hard thing to overcome, and I'm still overcoming. Mm. But as cliche as it is, it's like you fake it till you make it. And like, it's been working, and like I feel like how I've been faking it till I make it in this program is like, okay, what skills do I need to kind of hone to get past this interview?
Right.
So it's like, what are things that I can do now, or like what experiences can I like insert myself to, so then I can talk about it later? Because do I feel like a user experience designer? No, not yet, but I am on route to try to collect enough skills to pretend that I am a user experience
there
designer.
You go.
And like with that mindset, I feel like eventually you just end up getting there anyways. So
yeah.
It's a scary feeling to be in, but like I think I texted my boyfriend Matthew this morning. I'm like, I'm cosplaying as a kick rally right now. Because if anyone adds me on Strava, you'll see that I've been on that grind, and it's just like, if you pretend for long enough, you'll end up becoming that person.
Yeah.
It's like your small little building blocks that you put together, and then like eventually you just, yeah. So like you don't have to be that person. Just pretend.
Sure. For a while. Essentially what building habits is. You just pretend to enjoy something for long enough.
Yeah.
21 days, I think, scientifically. And then suddenly it's just part of your routine, and you don't have to pretend anymore. It's just part of who you are.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel like it's more fun when you think about that that way. It's like, oh, let's pretend. Yeah. Let's pretend that I can do this today.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great answer, honestly.
Have you felt imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Okay.
Like every day. Like every day I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, where am I? How did I get here? Who did I lie to get here?
What did I fool?
Who did I fool, and how did I do that? Because honestly, in my head, I'm 7. Like, I never aged past 7. And it's hard to kind of accept that people perceive me as a grown woman.
Right.
Because when I'm at home, like, I still live with my parents, so I'm still treated like a kid, relatively.
Right.
So I just noticing that difference in how I'm treated from place A to place B, it's just like, whoa, what is this?
Yep.
Like, I actually have responsibilities, but I love having responsibilities, and I have since I was actually 7. I have wanted to do everything, but now I actually have the qualifications.
Oh.
But convincing myself that that exists has been a struggle.
Yeah. You're doing great, Riley. Your 7-year-old self would be
very proud of you. People keep saying shit like that to me, and I start like tearing up every time.
You're so funny.
Like, come on. Oh, okay.
9 a.m. chats.
Love it so much.
Oh, okay. Trends.
Trends.
What's up?
Yes.
What do I know about trends? Well, let's just talk about if there are any that you really love or hate right now.
Mm.
Do you have any strong opinions on them?
I think the trend that I'm really liking right now is like, do you remember in the sideshows for a design studio, like on Tuesday? Mm-hmm. It's like that grainy, it's in Joanne's slides. It's like the grainy textures with the gradient. in shapes.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's so cool. Because it's just like, it feels so raw.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so pleasing to the eye that I would love to implement that in anything that I do. So we'll try that. 2025, I'll put out something that has grainy texture with ingredients and shapes. I don't know what that's called.
Something like that.
Something like that.
You can make up your own name for it, I think. I don't think it actually has a name.
Yeah, or like any like bold and minimalism, I feel like there's a whole spectrum that's like coming out. It's like either you're like bold minimalism or you're like maximalism and like all the colors, everything, everywhere, all at once. And it's like, it's really nice to see it, but I feel like I'm more attached to the minimalism side because it's like, why do more when you can do less and have the same impact, if not more?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I think that's... Now, this might be controversial to some people, but in my opinion, good design has to be minimalistic to some extent. It can still have the bold and crazy colors and all of the elements, but you have to present it in a very direct, straightforward way.
Yeah.
It should be as few elements as possible to deliver the biggest message possible, right? So
trim.
Yeah.
Trim the excess.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Now, like, even looking back now that I have had this realization, looking back at some of my earlier logo work, I'm like, why are there 8 fucking colors on this? Like, why do they put a gradient on that, first of all? Why are there 8 colors? Why are there little tiny details that just did not need to be there because it's going to be this big?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you live and you learn.
But isn't that so cool?
Yeah, it is so cool.
To, like, we're at a point now in our education and our learning, and like we're able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, to look back at our first designs and be like, why did I do that? Or it's just like, that looks terrible. I get where you're coming from, but like this could be so much better.
Yeah.
So I'm looking back and like, maybe I did learn something in my
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so cool.
So fun.
I would love to see like a redesign of your first logo. And like,
oh my gosh, I would love to do that.
I feel like we should all do that as like a challenge. It's like, look what we did in our first assignment and like redo that same assignment.
We should. That reading week activity.
Perfect.
That would be an amazing reading week activity.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. How do you keep learning like continuously in such a fast-paced environment?
I feel like this goes like, I guess, in life too, like also in the industry, but like follow your curiosity. So it's like, if you see something that you like, or like you see, hear a concept that you want to know more about, it's just so natural to follow that curiosity. And it's like, because you're giving yourself that, it doesn't feel like forceful learning.
Right.
It's like, it's more, you're following your passion. You're following that road. So
yeah.
I feel like it's pretty easy to keep learning and to stay present with like, I guess all the arising trends and everything. Cause like, do I know how to do that grainy texture gradient thing? No, but will I learn? Yes, because why I want to. And it sparks my curiosity.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's good. I think a lot of people lose their curiosity when they start to grow up because whether it's just their circumstance that it's kind of taken out of them, drained out of them, or they just think they're above being curious about things. Either way, of course, it's circumstantial. It's just how they were raised or their influences growing up. But I feel like it's an important thing to maintain, especially in our industry, but also everyone needs to be a little bit more curious.
I'd say so too.
Yeah.
Also quoting someone super smart that I don't remember. your knowledge is not how much you know, but it is knowing the extent of your ignorance. So it's like, once you know where that limit is, and actually being self-aware of where that limit is, that's knowledge. Because now you know what you know, and that, and you've also accepted that there is more out there to learn.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you are still always dancing around that line of like, okay, this is how much I know, but this is what I don't know, and filling that and filling in those gaps, you're always bored.
Absolutely. What do you think the biggest challenge you've ever faced in design, in terms of design?
I was going to ask, I was like,
we can go in terms of life next if you want. Okay. Was it the laundry detergent?
That's a story for next time.
Okay.
My biggest challenge in design.
Yes. Okay, let me think about this. Whether it's like interpersonal or actually technical.
Mm-hmm. Let's spin this, I guess, like in a team dynamics way. So I feel like in design, you're always working with a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my biggest challenge was just to find my place in that team. So for a while, I feel like what I'm good at is knowing people's talents and skills. So for the longest time, I was like, okay, Brie, I need help with your with the brand guideline. Please do that because she's amazing at that. Aaron's amazing at prototyping. He's like just like so quick and tech savvy. Like, oh my god, he makes me feel so old because he's like done. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Thank you so much. And then we have Chris. Chris has like, oh my god, like plenty of corporate experience.
Yes. Yeah.
So for him to like look at something like that sounds wrong. And like just like create copy or like micro copies or everything, like, yeah. So I feel like while I collect other skills and like put them into the places, sometimes I struggle to find where my design skills lay, because I feel like with my path it's a lot more like, I guess, product management rather than design. So I think that's my challenge, is like finding where my niche is.
Okay.
I do feel like it's, I guess, more of that user experience, like identifying the gaps of like processes.
Right.
Yeah. that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, I feel like if we're on a project and I feel like we're just like running into like this roadblock, and like, I feel like I am able to recognize that and like be like, okay, guys, we need to regroup. Like, this is not working. We have to do something else.
Yeah.
Because as a number one complainer, if I find something like, why are we doing it this way? Like, there has to be another way. Then I do find that. Okay. So with design, it's not like on paper, like on screen design. It's more like process design.
Right.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone who's just starting in our program?
For someone who is starting in our program, I would say be prepared to take charge of your own learning. And understand that this program you are paying for. So if you feel like if you're a complainer and you want to see some changes, or like if you have like feedback, or if you want to learn something that's not being taught, that is something that you are 100% entitled to do. But yeah, just really, really take pride in that, I guess, is like being a student and like being here is a choice.
Yeah.
So like everyone here, like you're not forced to be here. Like we're out of like that school system. So everyone here wants to be here. And if this is not serving you in that way, definitely say something about it.
Yeah.
And like keep an open mind about what you're learning. I feel like sometimes I hop on this train of like noticing all the not great qualities of things, which I guess like I've turned that into being a user experience designer. But I think just like also pausing and learning, reflecting about like your logo, like, oh, like I can look at things now and like realize that it can be improved. So like I think also taking the time to like document your learning process and like remind yourself of what you have learned in the program, and yeah, just be ready to grow a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, that's good advice.
On to a little bit about the industry as a whole. How do you see the role of user experience designers evolving over the next 5 to 10 years?
Since it's a fairly new role, I hope that is going to be as necessary as like, let's say, a software developer, or like, because I feel like that design touch is needed.
Yeah.
I feel like we've seen a lot of bad websites, and I feel like being a user experience designer, that role is very much needed. It can save a lot of time. It can save a lot of companies like money by doing things right the first time. And it should fall into every business model that like your customers are first, because they are the ones that are making you the money. So if you are designing a product that does cater to your customers, then I would feel like a user experience designer is very much necessary in that work process. So keeping my fingers crossed that it's going to be a booming industry as it is now.
Yes, I definitely think it will be. I agree.
Yeah.
And in terms of AI usage, where does AI fit into your process?
because I know everyone kind of uses it in some spots,
right?
But it's just always so different. I use AI
a lot,
and like I don't.
Jeez.
I use it in a way that it sorts my thoughts. Like sometimes I'll start with like word vomiting all my ideas or like all the things that I'm thinking about. I'll put them in like bullet points, and then I'll ask ChatGPT, like, can you please sort these into like significant themes or like just to sort my brain out first. If there's anything that I need to be more concise, then I will ask it to help me to do that. I feel like with AI, I haven't really done it for like images or anything, like creating like the graphics that I need, but like I guess more as a starting point. I feel like there's a lot of people that are scared with AI, but honestly, AI is a really amazing tool. And if you are scared about AI, I feel like it's really easy to fall off of like the, not improvements of society, but I guess like the trajectory of where we're going with like advancements of, I guess our society. AI is a tool. Don't let it think for you. I feel like once AI was coming out, I was scared that, oh my gosh, like I'm literally in a program where I can be replaced, but we cannot. Because like it was a really big aha moment for me when I started looking at AI and being like, that's a really bad idea. So like, I guess getting to yourself to a point where you can recognize when things are, when things are artificial intelligence,
yes,
and like having that opinion on artificial intelligence, because like it is, it's nice for some things, but like don't let it be the main thing that does your work for you. Definitely use it as a tool. Yeah. Like cut your time in half. Like please spend your time on other things.
Yeah,
but
because like that's another thing I really like with the Teemo app is like if I put in a task and like say start wireframe for this type of website, whatever I'm working on at that time, there's a little AI button that's like create subtasks.
Yeah.
And then it just maps out the entire thing for you. And then knowing the general process I like to follow, I can go and delete what I don't want to do. But it's just such a great way to get started, is to ask the internet, I guess, the internet as a whole, this humanified internet, what you should be doing first. And then, yeah, because I feel like a lot of the time it's just easier to do something when you're told to do it.
That is fact.
Yeah.
I feel like I also use AI to almost validate things as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, when, okay, let's say we're shopping and I'm like, Riley, do you like this sweater? And then you say no, but I'm like my head, like I kind of wish you said yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, where it's like, I will ask chat to do something for me, but then once it does something not in the way that I want it to, it validates what I was feeling. So then I go with what I'm feeling. So
yeah,
it's like, it's almost like a second opinion. Yes, I think, oh my God, okay, I think that's like the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
Chat, like AI, artificial intelligence, everything, that is a second opinion. It is not your opinion. And you, at the end of the day, must decide what parts of that you want and what parts you don't. Because you're such, being in this industry and being a student, in the time where AI is like up and coming, it's like, I'm sure you'll be able to read something and be like, that's AI. As soon as you see words like foster or setting the stage, you know what that is from AI for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good way to reframe it. I like that.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start using it to give me second opinions.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Do you think there's anything missing in our conversation about today?
I don't think so, but I also think that like, we can talk about design forever.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, if I think of something, maybe there'll be an episode 2 with Tina.
Yeah, 100%. Season 2. Mm-hmm. Tina's making a comeback. Get excited now.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah.
I'll see.
For when?
Reno Mania. We'll see what Smo
tells us.
Yeah, 100%.
We will, with our second opinion, or with us being first opinion, their second opinion, we'll decide what dates.
Yeah. Okay. So moving into some more fun personal questions.
Okay.
Tell us about your stickers.
My stickers. Okay. So at the beginning of this, I think I said that I enjoy processes, but I can't make something out of nothing. So with my stickers, I love the process of like finding out what's the best like paper to use, what's the best like lamination, like
what lasts long, like anything that's more like, I guess, on like on the materials technical side, I love. But creating side, I cannot. So I feel like starting recently, I've been asking like some of our friends to do it, like maybe design a sticker for me so then I can print it out. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I feel like that is one of the hobbies that I feel like I don't stress over. Like it's definitely like a, it's very therapeutic and it's like a lot of fun. And I feel like stickers especially, it's such a low cost thing, but it brings people so much joy. Yeah. Like for me to be able to like bring around like stickers of like goose stamps and be like, hey, like here's a sticker. Mm-hmm. Seeing people light up in that way, like I love. And it's like, I feel like it's definitely something I learned from retail as well. It's like you doing something small that doesn't affect you like terribly negatively and like it makes someone's day, like you do it, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel that implementing stickers in my life definitely helps me do that. But yeah, I will hopefully, I think on my bingo card, maybe a market of some sort, maybe of all our designs.
But,
yeah, super exciting. I love it. It's been fun for me.
Absolutely. So I've asked the question of what's your favorite piece of work that you've ever created to everyone else I've recorded with so far. And everyone's answer consistently, Jason's sticker pump. Would you agree with that?
I would say yes, because that is, since that is our most recent project, it is the product of all our knowledge that we've had so far. And because we worked with our closest friends with that, it was just such a fun process. Do I wish that it was under different circumstances and it wasn't as stressful as it was and where it was placed? Yes, but pressure makes diamonds. And so with that, I think it was super helpful putting Jason's name on it. Because have you done a podcast, Jason, yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, when you guys get to meet Jason, you'll understand why. It's like when you have a product that you're making for someone, especially someone that you care about,
yeah,
it makes the process so much easier. And like you can draw motivation from that. It's like we're doing this for Jason. Protect Jason at all costs.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Such a sweet, such a pure soul. He's such a little angel. Yeah. So just like creating a website that embodies Jason, it was just so much fun.
I believe it. I have yet to see that project, so I'd love to take a look at it. If you could show me.
That'd yes, great. Of course.
And what are your goals for 2025?
Oh my gosh, a lot. So the pals and I, we actually made a bingo card. Different pals, not school pals. But we made a bingo card, and I knew a bingo card was a lot of goals, but there's 25 goals on that that you'd have to fill out. So I got to like number 11, and then I stopped thinking about other ones. So on my bingo card, there's like run a 10K. Mm-hmm. So that is me pretending to be a fit girly. I'm just putting it on that. So every day I'm going to cosplay as a fit girly that is going to do spin class, do this, do that. Design wise, I would love a big girl job. Anyone watching that's hiring, if you need a user experience designer, hit me up. My LinkedIn will be posted somewhere, I hope.
The link is also linked in the bio.
Perfect. That is also my bingo card. Graduating with everyone is my bingo card. That's more of like a I'm looking forward to rather than a goal. But as much as I love school, I can't wait to not be in school anymore, just so that we have that time to feed into the curiosities that we have. Because I feel like we're at a point now where we know what we don't know.
Yes.
So yeah, we know the extent of our ignorance. And then we can spend our time really looking into that and learning more and really filling out our portfolios. Creating one, that is also a goal of mine, is to create one, because I haven't done one yet.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, what's on your bingo card?
Also a lot.
Yeah.
Tell the government I'm employed.
Oh.
That's step one. I haven't registered for sole proprietorship for anything.
I'm a freelancer.
Yes. And the government has no idea anyone's paying me. Right. So when tax season comes around, they'll be like, hey, what are these e-transfers? Are you selling drugs? No.
that's definitely step one. Building my client base. I don't have like a specific number that I want to get to because obviously it's very fluid. If I get another client like Symphonic, who's going to be kind of consistently around, then I'll have limited space to take on others, right? So I have to leave that kind of open. And get on track of my spending habits.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, especially neurodivergency, overspending is definitely
yes.
at the forefront.
Yeah, 100%. Because every time I need something, I'm just going to go on Amazon and buy it without thinking about it.
Any minor inconvenience.
Yeah. Can this be solved with a cool gadget?
Yes, it can.
Yes, it can. Just minor things. Also getting on top of my health.
Nice.
Number one, my primary goal.
Yes.
We'll figure that out today in class.
Yeah. This is my mom. This is my school mom.
Yeah, you have to stay healthy to be the best you can be.
Yeah.
So we will all be looking out for Riley's health this year.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where do you see your digital dopamine going? What are your goals for digital dopamine this year?
Currently, I am doing it for myself to learn.
Yeah.
And if I grow an audience, that's a side bonus.
I love that.
Yeah. It's just kind of something to keep myself creative for myself and that I have to be consistent with because I promised myself and everyone around me I was going to be consistent with it. So I really have no choice but to stay into it, which I think will help a lot with my balancing and avoiding creative burnout. Because if I'm doing something technology-wise for myself, usually for myself, I just paint or whatever, and then I feel like I lose my flow. But if this is just something I switch to and work on for an hour, while I'm eating my lunch at home when I work from home, then yeah, it kind of keeps that balance a bit better.
Oh, sweet. And like, yeah. I'm so excited that you're doing this, especially with like our inner circles. I'm sure you'll like move out from that. But it's honestly like, for us too. Like, I can't wait to look back at this and cringe. But
of course,
not sure. Years from now, like I'm sure my answers will change. Yeah. And it's such a cool time capsule thing, and I am very proud of this digital footprint that we're putting out.
Yes.
It's so good. It's a great digital footprint.
Yeah.
So I love that you're doing it for yourself, but like,
yeah,
it's for us.
And also to show you guys off.
Oh,
it's like you're all so smart, and you all have such different takes on everything that I thought it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Be a cool concept to bring you all on as guests.
I love that.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you for thinking of us.
Of course. I'm always thinking of you. Oh my gosh.
Well,
what is it? 10 a.m.? Why are we getting emotional right now? If you could redesign any existing brand or product, what would it be?
Redesign brand or product.
Or app or website. Or anything.
App or website. Okay. So this was just like the first thing that like came to the top of my mind. But my mom is actually a Vietnamese school teacher here in Calgary.
Cool.
And because they are, I actually don't know if they're a nonprofit. It's a small community, and any design or like any websites that they do, it's through honorariums. They have to be a nonprofit because they do get casino funding. So they have to be a nonprofit. But their website needs a little bit of a help. I'll show you it later, but it's like a purple background with like red font on it or something like that. And I'm like, this is really hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
But I feel like any of those communities that do need an extra hand, I feel like that's something that like I would love to redesign. And like, just like out of love, I'm wanting more for them.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, this could be a lot better. I'm complaining about this, but I have a solution for you. So.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think purple background and red font sounds absolutely horrific.
Which is funny because I have a purple shirt with like red font on it, but it's a t-shirt. It doesn't have to be functional. Or it has to be functional, but it doesn't have to be like, okay, anyways, I digress. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I know what I'm trying to say, but I can't put it out right now. But
okay.
Yes.
Next question, Riley. Okay, next question. If you had unlimited time and resources, and money was no object, what passion project would you create?
Oh my gosh. I think I would go balls to walls with my
stickers.
Amazing. I envision me being an at-home girly with like my little office space. And like, I love watching those videos of like people fulfilling orders, or like they have like their stacks and like, an order came in. Let me just pack this. Let me just write like a personal note and like little like, package it up and send it away. I would love that. I feel like
I love doing those like little tasks. And like that is a little bit of what I do at Apple as well, as I'm an operations specialist. So in the mornings we do have like, we fulfill like those like online orders before like a big event with shipments and receiving. Like that's something that we have to like be very accurate and precise about. So I enjoy those a lot. So I would love to stay home and do my new stickers.
Yeah, I would love that for you. That's
too amazing.
Speaking of which, I need some stickers.
Okay.
Yeah.
For those dopamine stickers?
Oh
yeah. My gosh, of course.
Yeah.
Not a problem. I'm really waterproof.
Mm. Nice. That would be cool.
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. I'm excited. Put them in the back of my car.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then also it should say made by Tina.
Oh. Hello.
And then tag yourself so that other people on the road can like reach out to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I need to make an Instagram account. So
yes.
Next week I will be pretending to be a sticker shop owner.
Yes. And we're going to move into the rapid fire last little quick round of questions. What's your favorite font or typeface?
I know Bree said Helvetica.
Mm-hmm.
I actually can't think of anything on top of mine right now. Other than like the default of Figma, which is like Inter or something.
Yeah. Honestly, Inter is really nice though.
It is
nice. It's like, it's like soothing in a way. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna steal this question because I don't know how to answer it. What do you think about Microsoft switching from Calibri to Aptos?
Aptos? I like it.
Aptos?
I like Aptos better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just more smooth to read. Like I feel like it gives a better user experience when I'm even reading my work back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I can't figure out how to like put it as my default because like, it's still Calibri.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I need an update, but I do agree. I do like Apple's better. What's your favorite typeface?
Okay, currently,
mm-hmm.
Fat Frank Heavy.
Fat Frank Heavy.
Yes. It's so nice. It's just blocky.
Yeah.
And so it's the one that I use as the primary typeface for the Ink skincare brand guideline that I did, like in September, but it's still my favorite because I just, there's something so nice about it. It's a great like poster typeface and the corners are just like a little bit rounded. It's so nice. I'm a whore for it. For real.
I love that for you.
So good.
Okay. Quick side story. And like when I was growing up, when I was little, it sounds so weird because I still feel like I'm still little and still growing up. But like younger Tina, it's a meme now, but I love Comic Sans. And I feel like now my writing looks like Comic Sans and I absolutely hate it. And like I love the idea of like journaling and like just notebooks, but I just have like a pile of notebooks because every time I start writing something I'm like,
that's Comic Sans.
I was like, I don't like that. So then like I ripped the page out and then so everything's digital for me, which is like fitting for the industry, but like
that Comic Sans,
so funny. Please hire me. I swear my my work is better than my handwriting.
The handwriting is not a demonstration of the work. The work is much better quality.
I promise.
Yes.
Catch my portfolio in season 2. I guess you have to stick around till then.
Mm. Okay. What is your favorite color combination?
We literally just trash talk this, but like the the purple and the red is not bad. It's like any like design, like visually, it's just so jarring to the eye.
Like, yes.
Like anything that disrupts that. It's like you hate it at first, but when you surrender yourself to like those like weird combinations, it's kind of nice. And like when I first colored my hair pink, it was like this vibrant pink, and I wore my cobalt blue sweater, and I was like, I kind of like this. So it's like anything that's like bright and bold, not usually complementing each other, but like almost standing with each other. And so like I like
that, standing with each other. I like the way you phrase that.
Yeah. Like one's not overpowering the other, but like they're both like just as like loud. So I like that. I like playing around with those.
Hopefully.
Not conventional, but yeah.
Yeah. But if you could work for any company in the world, who would it be?
Disney Plus.
Lovely.
Yes. Thanks. Disney Plus, specifically with Isaiah H.
Garvin. Yeah.
We'll take him.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I think, just like, it'd be so cool to work for a company that is in so many different avenues. Like, you have, like, the Disney parks, you have streaming, you have all these movies. It's like, And it's just the nostalgia that comes with it. Yes, like to work for a company that has such, like, that has left such a big legacy.
Yeah.
But also, Apple.
I think I have to say that. Not that I have to say that. But, for me to work for corporate Apple, I think that'd be such, like, that'd be so cool.
That would be
start
so cool.
From, like, really, like, the bottom and work my way up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Silicon Valley, take me in, please. But yeah, I think that'd be amazing. I feel like working up over the past, I guess, 3 years now, I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot of life skills as well. Just because, like, when you're working for a company that has such a big reputation and our customers are paying so much money for their products. Because before being an operational specialist, I was a technical specialist, so I was at the Genius Bar. Meaning that if there was an issue with your expensive devices, you come see me. So a lot of the customers that come see me, they're already unhappy or like something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just like learning how to deal with those customers and like rebuilding that relationship while wearing the Apple on your shirt, like it was such a important role to be. But yeah, I feel like how I handle conflict and how I present conflict and finding those solutions, that is definitely something that I did learn from Apple, and I'm very grateful.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so get me to corporate.
I'd be scared. If I were Apple,
I would be scared right now.
Okay, last question. Super easy little fun one. What's your go-to beverage while working?
I shouldn't have coffee, but I love, because I guess like with stimulants and coffee, it's probably really bad for my heart, but I later down the road I will pretend to be a tea girly, but right now I'm very much a vanilla latte girly.
As you should be.
Yeah. And like I was talking about this with Chris of like how I should do tea, because like I think there's just so much more health benefits.
Yeah, as well.
Absolutely. Like with like matcha or green tea, like Asia's really figured it out. That's the key to longevity and everything. But I literally just got an espresso.
So you have to use that.
I do. It was on sale. What can I say?
Yeah. So you need to stop drinking coffee and you're going to pretend to be a tea girly.
Later.
Later. When's later? Because I'll do it with you.
Oh.
Are you a coffee?
It's like so heavy.
Are you like so dependent on the coffee? I'm tweaking if I don't have caffeine in my system.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have calculated that I need to use my Nespresso for 2 months. For 2 months for it to offset the cost of a $5 coffee a day. So maybe month three. So maybe March.
Okay. Sounds good. March, we start slow though. Like we can still have like 2 cups of coffee.
Right.
Wait, a day or like?
Oh, a day.
Okay. I'm not like that.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Because I'm sitting at like 5 cups a day.
I guess. Finally. Like,
and I wonder why I feel like shit all
the time. Holy crap.
Yes.
That's funny. I wonder what your body would feel like if you were on no coffee. Like, how would it perform without coffee?
I feel like I would be an entirely different person, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I'm scared about, because, like, the coffee gets me buzzing off the walls, and everyone's like, oh, you have so much energy. Oh, you're so bubbly. Once I've had 5 cups of coffee, I am. Like,
have you seen Meet the Robinsons?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know the science teacher that's like, oh, I'm on my 8th cup today, and she lifts up her shirt and she has like 10 coffee patches on her and she's like, that's freaked out?
Yeah, that's me.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm a 1 cup a day really, but maybe you pretend to be me for a bit and then
okay.
Get down to 1 cup a day.
Yeah.
And then once we're at the same level, then we can pretend to be two girlies together.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'll try. I'll keep you up to it.
Oh, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Or I'll just start growling.
I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then barking. That's also a story for another time.
That is.
Anyways.
That.
We need like a Portugal segment.
Oh, we do. Yeah. With everyone who's there. That would be so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be like a 3-hour long podcast.
Oh, definitely. That's going to be split into 2 parts.
Yeah.
But alas, that is enough dopamine for today. Thank you so much, Tina, for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And Tina, go ahead and plug your socials.
Instagram quickly, at TIINA.Lee. With my LinkedIn. Oh, I have no idea. We'll just plug it in.
Yeah, it's also in the bio.
Yes.
Follow Tina's sticker shop.
At Stickers by Tina on Instagram.
Order some stickers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah. And don't forget to follow digitaldopamine.podcast on YouTube
and on Instagram. And also follow my personal Instagram at Riley Melina Schmitz. And I think that's all I have to say. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
Thank you for being here. It was so much fun. This is truly a passion project. So, yeah.
Lovely. More passions 2025.
Yes, definitely. More mental health care. This is mental health care. Okay, bye for now.